Will you pray with me? Almighty God, as we read your scriptures and proclaim your word, reveal to us the truth of your love and power. Amen. Amen. Today we continue in a series that I started before I left, and it sounds like Pastor Evan went in a little bit different direction, and I'm glad to hear that, that you talked about evangelism some more, and I love that, and I'm glad you went that way. But today we're gonna circle back a little bit to what did Jesus do? That reflection about this old saying we had, and I say old, but it was like the 90s. What would Jesus do? I say old. I had the bracelet myself. I had the, you know, it's all right. But it was 30 years ago. What would Jesus do? We had the bumper stickers. We had the bracelets. We had the sermon series. I'm certain. What would Jesus do? That filter we can carry with us to apply to every choice, every branch in the road, every fork in the trail, we can apply that thing. What would Jesus do? And I think now, 30, 40 years after that came to be, that it might be time to reflect on what Jesus did do in order that we might be able to make that choice well again. Jesus died for our sins. Jesus was the embodiment of all holy things, the holy and living Lamb of God, sacrifice that we may have new life in him. Yes, Jesus did those things for you, for me, for every person on this planet. But while he was here, while he was walking the planet, while he was leading men and women in this new way, he did things that we have tended to make so common that we forget how deep they actually were, how profound the things that he did actually were. And so today, in that light of what did Jesus do, looking beyond the physical action or the scene that took place, what was actually happening in the world and in the kingdom because of what Jesus did. Jesus set an example of godliness, of true kingdom life in his life, beyond what words can express. We have the scriptures, we have the testimonies, we have the gospels telling us what took place. But within that, those black and white words, there is more. There's depth. It is profound what Jesus did. And today we are looking at one of my favorite scriptures from Jesus' time on this planet. When Jesus washes feet. You can find this in several of the Gospels, but today we are going to look in the Gospel of John, and it's in chapter 13, when Jesus gathers for the Passover dinner with his disciples and those who are very, very close to him at the time. And this is the Last Supper. This is the last gathering. This is that moment when Jesus has said, let's assemble in the upper room and share in the Passover meal. This is the time when Jesus interrupts that meal and introduces us and his disciples to what we now understand as the Eucharist communion. This is that moment in which Jesus is saying goodbye and no one knows it. When Jesus is revealing the truth of what it means to be a follower of Christ. From John chapter 13. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I've done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if your Lord and teacher has washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." I love this scripture, this scene, this story. It's a Lenten season story. It's a Good Friday story. It's Holy Week story, and it almost never comes up in the church year beyond that week. And so now, being 6 months out, I thought it might be, being on the opposite side of the calendar, we're gonna lift it up again, because it is worth it. It is worth it what takes place here in this moment when Jesus goes person to person and washes feet. Every time I hear this scripture, it of course drums up images and memories of former Easter seasons and Holy Weeks in churches across the country, and times I've experienced it, and times that have had big impacts on my life. But by far, the one that sticks out to me the most, the memory that has impacted me with this scripture the most, is at Grosse Pointe United Methodist Church. When I was first stepping into ministry, the pastors there, in an unexpected to me way, invited me to be an intern, a ministry intern there, and even allowed me to lead some services and preach, and they just embraced me and my call and gave me space to try it and get a feel for what it was I was committing to. And so that's where my ministry really started, as far as the pulpit side and the planning side of things. And I remember that first Lenten service, that first Holy Week service, when Pastor Dan Hart said, "Why don't you take this one? Plan it, you lead it, whatever it is you feel like we should do, let's do that." And this is where we are. And I said, "Well, it sounds to me like we need to wash each other's feet." And he said, "Yeah, it does sound like that." And I thought, "Yeah, so that's what we're doing." And he said, "Okay." He had had a couple years experience on me and knew what I was getting into, and I didn't. And if you're familiar with Grosse Pointe, it is of the most elite in Michigan, and anywhere really, and I'm blessed to say that that congregation has the has a humble and caring and generous heart, and they're amazing. But they reflect the community. They are well-to-do. And I didn't tell them what I was doing. We just gathered for Maundy Thursday. And I announced, we're going to be washing each other's feet. You don't have to if you don't want to. And so a lot of people took that option, but some still came forward and allowed us to wash each other's feet. It was profound and humiliating, but not to me, not to the one washing. For some reason, we've twisted this thing into it's humiliating to allow someone else to wash your feet. And so most people don't want their feet washed by someone else today. It's humiliating. You don't need to see that. You don't need to smell that. Whatever it might be, we don't feel like someone else should be put in that place. And it's not without reason. I will testify that by the end of that service, we weren't scrubbing between toes or anything like that. We just had a basin and we were pouring water over people's feet. And you don't want to know what that water looked like after. It is humiliating. It is humbling to allow someone to serve you. It's really hard. It's almost like dying. We carry a dignity. We carry ego. We carry persona. It's really hard to let that go. It's so hard. I had no problem going basin to basin or foot to foot with that basin, and I understood why people did and I understood why people didn't. And then Pastor Hart says, it's your turn. It's like, oh no, that wasn't, I don't have that in my, it's not here. He said, no, have a seat. And he washed my feet. There's something that happens. Something changes in the entirety of our spectrum of why we are here on this planet when we serve one another in love. I don't know how many more times you can fit it in a sentence. I give you a new commandment that you love one another just as I have loved you. You should love one another, but this, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. It's three sentences. When they walked into that place, into that upper room, the tradition would have been that there were servants at the door. It's hard to tell by the scriptures whether those servants were there or not. In some cases, we can see that where Jesus says, yes, your feet have already been washed, or they say that their feet have already been washed, their hands have already been washed, but now you must, that this part's different. And some of that reflects that they were met by servants at the door. That would be the tradition of the day. That those with any stature walking into a new house would be met by greeters. And those greeters would welcome those travelers in, and they would comfort them immediately by washing them, their hands and their feet. that they may be clean for the dinner, that they may gather at that table without concern of their cleanliness. Those humble servants at the door welcomed those above them in by washing their feet. Those sandaled feet that have been trotting through the land, dirty and worn out feet. It was a servant's place. It was a servant's job. What we start to see here is that perhaps those servants weren't there, and that Jesus had asked some of his followers to take that role. They think that might be what sparked that argument, that famous argument between James and John about who was going to be at the right hand of Christ, the right hand of the throne, those two brothers who are arguing among each other who's going to be the greatest. They think that might be where that argument started and why the necessity of this moment came to be. Jesus meeting with his closest disciples, his closest followers, looked around and said, knowing that it was his last day, oh, I've got a lot of work to do still. We've got a lot of work to do still. And their king, their leader, our Christ, got down on his knees and washed their feet. He led them into true leadership, leading by example. He was going to face the most humiliating death possible. And he humbled himself. Instead of using that moment to gain that energy, it's okay, you can do it, you've got this, he humbled himself and kneeled before each one of them. And in so, in inviting them to do it themselves, he reversed our understanding of what the kingdom is. We have this understanding, this hierarchy built into our minds that there's some status and that the lowly are to serve those above us. And he reverses the whole kingdom order by humbling himself, by lowering himself. Something amazing takes place there when he tells us that that's the new structure. That is how the kingdom works. That's what the kingdom looks like. On earth as it is in heaven, we are to humble ourselves and serve those lower than us. And that ought to be our target, that ought to be our goal of every day, is to wonder, what in this can I do to humble myself and to serve someone that needs help? It's so easy to serve someone above us. You know, it feels, there's no humiliation there to go to your boss and say, what can I do for you today? Or if you met a congressman or someone famous to say, what can I get for you? What can I do for you? But Jesus reverses the kingdom structure. And instead of our natural impulse to reach out and say, how can I help you today? We're to look to those who we've put below us. We're to serve the lost, the lonely, the least of these. They are worthy of being lifted up They are worthy of our service. We ought to humble ourselves in the presence of those who need it the most. We are focused as a nation, as people. We are so focused on other people and how we can help them. And we tend to not see the lowly. And Jesus has told us that the lowly will be the highest in the kingdom. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And it's humiliating. And that sounds like a bad thing. And it's not. We have changed that word to be bad. Humiliating until about 1750-ish, used to mean bring low or humble. It still does, but it's not the first definition anymore. It now means to lose or injure your dignity, to be disrespected, to cause embarrassment. What a shame that we've allowed that word to be injurious to us. You're not going to humiliate me. That is not of the kingdom. The kingdom that Jesus is proclaiming is, it hurts, but yes, God, allow me to be humiliated. Allow me to be humbled, to be brought low for you, to serve you by serving those that the world doesn't see today, those that the world is pushing aside today. Let me, God, be brought lower that I may lift them up. If the church is not leading the way in humility and humble service to the least brothers and sisters on this planet, then are we even a church? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.